Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Romney just accused you of running a campaign of hate and anger. How do you react to that? How do you respond to that?
Well, Nancy, you've been on the campaign trail with me for a day and a half, and this is pretty typical of what we do. And I don't think you or anybody who's been watching me campaign would suggest that in any way
we're just folks.
Have, you know, try to divide the country.
No.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
I'm in New Jersey right now, my hometown, black. But we're too weak and sissy to go into Ewing and Lawrenceville and Hamilton, New Jersey, and even across the damn bridge to Marsville and drag some of these damn rusty, dusty-ass crackers out of their home, skin their asses alive, hang their asses up by some damn rope and some trees, stick the pit bulls on them, pour acid on their asses, dump them in the damn river, bring them back up, bust them in the head with rocks. We're just too damn scared for any of these type of maneuvers.
So here's the question for the day on the Savage Nation. We know that Obama is a divider. We know that he's fomented class warfare and race warfare in America. We also know that the media is owned by the Democrat Party. For example, yesterday, the accused gunman ripped the Family Research Council policies before opening fire on an unarmed guard. It didn't make it to the esteemed New York Times, didn't make it into any of the local papers. But apparently the gay male who shot the guard, the unarmed guard, was angry at the headquarters of the Family Research Council. Didn't make it to your local paper. Who do you think, other than Obama, is releasing the genie from the bottle? That's the question I have for you. Because I don't know anyone else that I can think has sort of wink, wink, nod, nod, given sort of license to go ballistic on conservatives, Christians in particular. And there's another related story, which is, why is the FBI not prosecuting the shooter at the Family Research Council for having conducted a hate crime? He said he doesn't like their policies, doesn't like their politics. He shot an unarmed guard, and the unarmed guard wrestled him to the ground. And then Floyd Lee Corkins, the volunteer at the Lesbian, Gay, Transgender, Vendor Center, LG, I can't remember the initials I'm supposed to remember, then said, "Don't shoot me. Don't shoot me," he said to the guard who wrestled to the ground with a bullet in his arm. He said, "Don't shoot me," he said. "I don't dislike you." He said, "I dislike their policies. Don't shoot me. It was not about you. It was what this place stands for," with his Chick-fil-A hamburgers or fish burgers or chicken burgers in his bag. Then we have another case of six black teens viciously beating a poor white guy almost to death. Almost to death. They left him for dead. It's not being charged as a hate crime. Why are these things happening? Who do you blame for these things? How do you stop these things? How does it end? Finally, Romney came out and said, "Obama, you're running a campaign of hate and anger." Can anyone who has been observing Obama's behavior for the last 3.5 years disagree with Mr. Romney? I don't think so. No, not at all. Then there's another story. Two Louisiana sheriff's deputies were killed today in an ambush responding to an earlier shooting. And they won't show the shooter. They will not show the shooter. The press is in cahoots with the Democrat mind machine. I don't know how else to put it. 1-800-449-8255. There are many other stories we can cover on the Savage Nation. Joe Biden is living in the wrong century. But then again, when you realize that Bhagwan Rish Obama is living as a guru, in charge of a cult rather than a Democrat party, is it any wonder that Joe Biden says this in clip 7? Let's hear clip 7.
Once again, General Motors, the largest automobile maker in the world. Folks, Where is it written we cannot lead the world in the 20th century in making automobiles? I've not seen it written anywhere.
Well, we could bring back the Model T Ford. That was a big hit. We could introduce the Hudson. That was a hot car. The Hudson Hornet was a hot car, Joe. I don't know what you used as a child in your childhood, but that car could be made again at the Government Motors that you guys took over. But look, this is just a joke that you have a guy like this makes a mistake, 20th century, 21st. What's 100 years to a guy like Joe Biden? It doesn't really matter. And so, therefore, we're living in strange times. We are living in strange times. There was talk this morning that they were going to replace Biden with Hillary. Everyone said, oh, boy, that's a slam dunk if they do that, apparently. Apparently, Hillary wasn't interested. For whatever the reasons are, it would have been a victory for the Democrats. Absolutely, if they used Hillary. Now, here's the paradox about Hillary running as a VP. She has perhaps been the worst Secretary of State in American history. Virtually everything she has touched has blown up in her face. And yet the complicit press paints her as a genius, a diplomatic genius. The Arab Spring, as you well know, which I told you in trickle-up poverty would be, the Arab winter is the Arab winter. Islamists have taken over the entire Arab Crescent. They're about to take over Syria. Everywhere that Hillary Clinton has gone, you have seen warfare, you've seen mass murder, you've seen destruction, you've seen disaster. And yet, because she's a woman and a Democrat at that, she can do no wrong with this propaganda state that we're all living in. And that brings me to the next point. People are afraid to say what they know is going on. People are afraid to say what they see is going on in this country. People are terrified of this rogue administration. People are terrified of the government anarchy that we see raging out of control in this country. And people are terrified that if this rogue wins a second term, they're going to lose most of their freedoms. I am not speaking like this because I want to. I am in a stage in my life where I don't have to. I could have stopped talking so boldly a long time ago. But what is the point of doing talk radio unless you speak your mind? Unless you express what you truly think is going on in the country and permit people to express themselves, to vent, to express their concerns, their fears, challenge you if they wish, what's the point of talk radio? You may as well run Mickey Mouse cartoons instead of talk radio. If you're afraid of this medium, then you shouldn't be in the business. If you're a station owner, you shouldn't run any radio at all that has anything to do with opinion or if you're afraid of opinion. If you're a group owner, why are you putting idiots on the air like Geraldo Rivera, who nobody listens to? I heard he had a 0.1 rating, and yet they're putting him on the air. Why? No one listens to him. Or a guy like Huckabee, as nice a man as he is, zero ratings, a guitar-strumming idiot. What is going on in the landscape of the media is terrifying. We are moving into the era of pure, unadulterated, 100% propaganda around the clock. Again, let me go back to the main story. LGBT shooter shoots an unarmed guard, doesn't make it to the New York Times. The news covers the story and doesn't mention his affiliation, doesn't mention the fact that it was a terrorist event. The FBI refuses to charge him with a crime because he's a member of a protected group. And there's another element to that story. Do you know why the Family Research Council was shot at? It's specifically because the hate group, the so-called Southern Poverty Law Center, defined the Family Research Council as a hate group. As far as I am concerned, the center I just mentioned, the so-called Southern Poverty Law Center, is the reason this lunatic went and shot up the Family Research Council. So I bring it back to you, the listener. Who do you blame for this outbreak of hatred and violence that we're seeing occurring in this country? It's sort of a mini epidemic. Who do you blame for this mini epidemic of hatred and violence against conservatives other than Obama? The left, of course, isn't even mentioning the D.C. shooting. They're not even saying that it occurred. The fact that he was carrying a gun and a bag from a Chick-fil-A restaurant should cause those who've been working overtime to demonize conservatives to sort of stop their loud mouths from clicking, because soon they're going to realize that their loud mouths have effect and that people are going ballistic and they're killing and they're shooting. Now let's go back to the Black Panther saying that we should skin white babies alive and we should kill white people, break into their homes and kill them. You could say, ah, he's just a nut. Why should we pay attention? He'll never do it. Why should we be afraid of that? You could say that. But why suddenly is this fringe group so brazen that they would say a thing like this on a radio podcast? Answer, because they've been liberated in their of their fears by the Obama administration. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We're talking about the haters that have been unleashed under Obama in plain English. That's one topic. We're talking about why Hillary Clinton, who was invited to be the VP choice to get rid of the nut Biden, rejected it. There's another story that I have to point out to you that I just stumbled upon. A very, very brave man, the former NFL head coach Dennis Green, has sued Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, for breach of contract. It's an astounding story. Dennis Green, former head coach of the Minnesota Vikings and Arizona Cardinals, is accusing Paul Pelosi and business partner Bill Hambrecht of failing to honor the $1.5 million contract he signed with them to coach Pelosi's football team, the Sacramento Mountain Lions. Now, I won't read you all the ins and outs of it, but if you read the story in detail, you realize that something is wrong with this whole picture. And although they failed to pay Mr. Green's biweekly paycheck in full throughout 2011, other things have grown up around this story. For example, Nancy Pelosi's net worth grew to $43 million in 2011, which is a 62% jump from 2010. $43 million net worth in 2011, a 62% jump from 2010, based in part on a number of questionable investment decisions, according to author Peter Schweitzer, who revealed that Pelosi invested between $1 and $5 million in Visa as she presided over credit card legislation in Congress. No investigation, no charges were filed, the same as MF Global. Another big Democrat, John Corzine, loses $1 billion, $2 billion. The money disappears. No one knows where it went. No charges will be filed. The couple's extreme wealth has become a political liability in recent years and has invited accusations of hypocrisy from fair-minded critics. For example, the Pelosi couple has refused to hire unions to work in its vineyard and other business interests. Even though Pelosi has collected $365,000 in political contributions from labor groups in 2012. But Nancy rails against bankers despite the fact that her husband's colleagues are her staunchest allies, contributing $500,000 in 2012. And it goes on and on. I suggest you read the article. Again, the man's name is Dennis Green, former NFL head coach, sues Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul, for breach of contract. Let us hope that Dennis Green has a long healthy life. Let's go to the callers. Jerry in Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure speaking with you again. I just want to say that I'm an American of African descent, and that nut that's spewing all of that hatred, he couldn't make a good bad example, number one. Number two, I'd like to speak on the major, the monster of Fort Hood. He refuses to shave his beard.
Very fun. Well, they're using it as a delaying tactic. The reason the Muslim major, Nidal Hassan, refuses to shave his beard is because his devious defense attorneys have told him the longer he can delay the trial, the higher the probability that he will avoid the death penalty or even a long sentence. They have delayed this trial for 2 years now. That's because Obama does not want the Fort Hood trial to occur before the election. If it does occur, people are going to say, wait a minute, that's a Muslim. He was in the military. Warning signs were all over the place. The FBI looked the other way. Why would Obama's FBI have looked the other way? And they're going to put two and two together. And Obama doesn't want that.
He doesn't want that. And they're looking the other way. When I say they are looking the other way, I'm talking about Eric Holder when it comes to that nut out there that's spewing all of that hatred.
Well, the Black Panther who says kill white babies and skin white people alive, he hasn't actually committed a crime. It may be despicable, but he's actually engaging in, I don't know if that's illegal. I don't know if you could say kill people. He didn't name the person he wanted to kill. He said kill a certain race, didn't he? I don't think that's illegal on podcasts, on the internet, is it? I don't know.
No, I don't think it's a crime, but Michael, we're talking about looking for, you know, little things in people that are going to do terrible things. I'd say, let's look at him closely.
Well, I would say that Obama's rhetoric and Obama's division attacking the so-called rich has sort of liberated an anger towards anyone who has anything more than the other guy. If he has a better car, better shoes, or a prettier wife, he is now fair game in Obama's America. And you know and I know that this is not good for black people in America. I mean, look, the bottom, I hate using that phrase. The truth is, if I were a middle-class black who had played by the rules all my life and I had worked my way up in this society, I would be terrified right now of race relations because they're worse than they've been in 20 years. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Absolutely a fair assessment. And as an American of African descent, I can tell you, I am from the ghettos of Chicago, and my daughter now heads one of the major corporations in America. This is my country. I am an American.
God bless you. I know that. But this is why an African-American male would call the show right now, because he's saying, I'm not like that Black Panther. He's saying, I'm not like Obama. He's saying, please don't lump us all in together. That's what he is saying. And why would he have to say it is the question. Why would he have to say that? I mean, he's come so long away to see his daughter rise to such a high position. And yet he's worried that Obama's rhetoric is so reckless. Obama's class warfare is so provocative and dangerous that he feels threatened by the president. That's really what it comes down to. Okay? But I wouldn't dismiss a man saying skin white baby's alive and kill the cracker and hang it from a tree as just an individual nut. What you heard there was what goes on behind closed doors. What you heard there on that Black Panther podcast is how too many people talk behind closed doors. This is the worst part of it all. If it was an individual, you dismiss it. But you see, there's an undercurrent of hatred and anger and rage that is being fomented by Obama that's extremely dangerous.
Savage.
Welcome back to the program. You know, I don't know if I should talk about these things because I don't know if I well, let's say I do know that I'm not the only one who hears these things. I have my ear to the ground. And many people I know are talking about buying property outside of America because if Obama wins, they're going to leave the country. I know many people who are leaving California. They don't want to be taxed by Jerry Brown. They don't want to pay for the illegal aliens' education, medication, and legal services. They're disgusted by the rogue administration that grants amnesty to several million illegal aliens with the stroke of a pen, when in fact you know that's an impeachable offense. Obama could be and should be held up on impeachment, an impeachment trial. The reason the Republicans won't do it is they're afraid of losing the Latino vote, the Hispanic vote, to be more accurate, which is a shame unto itself that so many illegals have so much power over the electoral process. It's astounding they forget that 68% of the country is of Caucasian racial makeup. You would think that the country is an appendage of Mexico. The way the politicians behave, you would think that the Caucasian, the European Americans who live here, are a minority, but they're not. It's astounding to me what politicians, what they become. Why are they pandering to Hispanics when the largest number of Hispanic, quote, voters are not even eligible to vote? Why do they keep pandering to non-citizens? It's as though it's Alice in Wonderland. It's all upside down. And many people are afraid that Obama is going to steal the election with the illegal aliens. First, he grants them amnesty. Then he fights with states that want voter IDs in order to make sure that people like this don't vote. What does that say to you? Do you have to be stupid? Do you have to be Einstein to figure out what he's doing? He did it so they vote and put the criminal regime back in power. The Chicago Mafia, in plain English, is what people are calling it behind the scenes. I read the blogs. I see what people are writing. They're sick. They're terrified. They ask, where's the oversight? Where's the FBI? How could we be living in a rogue country like this? And so people are arming themselves to the teeth. Then they see the Obama administration buying millions of rounds of hollow point bullets, and they don't understand how the average person doesn't see what's coming. They have no idea how the average idiot doesn't see what this administration is. It's as though a gang has seized power. They've raped the nation. They've stripped the treasury. They're printing money, and nobody will stop them. Then you have a compliant press. You have a compliant press that may as well have worked for Joseph Stalin in the ex-Soviet Union. It's Izvestia, it's Pravda, but it's worse. There's virtually no independence in the newspaper business. Very little on television. Look what happened to Fox since Murdoch got caught in the crosshairs of that trial in England. Look how far left O'Reilly has moved. Doesn't seem to affect his ratings. I guess people are that gullible that they don't understand the Leprechaun is fundamentally today a CNN broadcaster. And they still like the Leprechaun. I mean, it's a big world. People are entitled to like what they want. So they figure the ratings aren't changing, so why not pander to Obama? So who do you have left? You have the internet. You have a few talk radio hosts who are right now endangered species in terms of future survival, like myself, both economically and intellectually, being marginalized on a daily basis and pushed out of the way so that there can be a complete and total takeover of the government media complex by the radical, violent, radical left. That's where we are today. If I were writing a history of America, that's where I would say we are today. And what's interesting is I'm not writing a history of America. I'm sort of speaking a history of America. What you're listening to with Michael Savage is an oral history of America as it unfolds. This is an oral history of America as it unfolds. And some of these political ideas are not solely limited to myself. If they were, you'd consider me a crazy man. You wouldn't listen. But my audience is still fairly large, very large, in fact. And the people still buy my books in the hundreds of thousands. How do you explain that? How do you explain the fact that although these statements may sound bizarre and shocking to you because you didn't read them in the useless propaganda ministry of the New York Times or even the New York Post today has become nothing but a – I've never seen anything like what the New York Post has become under Murdoch. Moloch has turned the New York Post into not a scandal sheet but a celebrity worship sheet. And so where do you turn for the news? It's very hard to know where to turn anymore other than the internet. If it was not for internet freedom, we'd have no news left in the country at all. None. Look, I don't write the news. I basically look at the news from the internet. I don't create the news. I read what's on the internet. It's the hardworking people on the internet who are actually writing the news. They're the newsmen of today, or the aggregators or the headline makers of today. And so we don't know which way to turn. And I know people are contemplating where to buy property outside of America if this gang should take over America again. Never mind from taxation, which will become on a criminal level of taxation, but they fear losing their freedoms altogether under the Obama regime in cycle two. That's what they're afraid of. So is violence stepping up in the country? Let's make it simple. Sometimes I tend to get too detailed, too esoteric. You know, I mean, I see things in my own way. I knew that the Islamist tyranny that you're seeing in Egypt and elsewhere in the Arab Crescent would grow. I knew there never was an Arab Spring. The only person to believe that was Anderson Cooper. He got excited seeing all the young guys in tight dungarees with Blackberries. So he reported basically that it had to be good. It just had to be wonderful if guys with tight dungarees and Blackberries were screaming for the overthrow of Mubarak and the leaders of other Arab countries, it must have been good. But now we see iron-fisted Islamists taking over Egypt and other countries in the Arab Crescent, and we're told it's the Arab Spring. Here in California, the socialist governor, Jerry Brown, is going after the people who pay the taxes in the country. He is conducting a war, the class warfare that Jerry Brown, Moonbeam as it were, was very famous for back in the 60s, He is a tool of the unions. He is a tool of particularly of the SEIU and the teachers union. And so here he is. Here is Jerry Brown conducting class warfare in the state of California when it's the people who earn the most money in the state are the only ones who create businesses. What will Jerry Brown do when the state consists only of illegal aliens and union workers? Where will the money come from? They don't think like that. All they think about is naked, raw power. If they can appease the illegal alien, if they can appease the illegal alien, if they can appease the illegal alien and nullify those who demand voter ID, they can stay in power forever. That's all they care about. It's nothing but power. That's all it is. It's nothing but power. But I will tell you that those who earn the most money in the state will leave California. At a certain point, all the fog on earth and all the cappuccino on earth is not worth paying 10% a year of your income to a regime that seems to punish success. What would you like to talk about? Let's go to Lawrence in Miami. Lawrence, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Listen, I agree with what you're saying about the hate because of Obama, but I don't really believe that it's Obama itself. I think that when the black man got promoted into that job or elected into the job, is that, like you say, you got 60% of the votes are white. A lot of people took offense to it. Now, I believe that Obama did say some things when he called the Hartford people, when he said that was stupid. But as a black man in America, we have to be very careful of the things that we say. Now, I supported Obama, and I will support him again. But I do tend to think that we're going to the extreme. We are Americans. We can't even have a civil conversation. Like, no, I like Romney, you know, but we can't even have a civil dialogue without everybody trying to inject hate into it, and it's causing this great bitterness.
All right, well, you make a different point. You're still an Obama supporter, but you think that, I think if I could to summarize what you're saying, is there's enough blame to go around on both sides, is what you're saying.
Yes, I do say that.
And yeah, but look, wait, but see why I disagree with you? I'll tell you why. Romney is a middle-of-the-road, nice Christian man who didn't say a nasty word about Obama until last week. And everyone on the right-wing side, meaning myself included, was saying, hey, get tough. He's ripping you to shreds. He's calling you names. He's calling you attacking. So now Romney fights back, and now he's equal to the divider Obama? I don't buy that.
Well, Mr. Savage, this is one thing I got. This is one thing that I really disagree with politics. Every time that one person out of the left camp says something, it's always contributed to the head, and even in Romney camp. To be honest with you, I believe Romney and Obama can go down and have a civil conversation. But the surrogates on either side, we're so busy trying to stoke and get somebody into the office. You know, to be honest with you, I like the Bush. I like the Obama. I really like Obama. But we in America, if you're not for somebody...
Lawrence, let me ask you a question. You say you're an Obama supporter. This is certainly not the first time you've listened to Michael Savage. I can tell by the dialogue. Apparently, you're a regular listener. Am I correct?
Be honest with you, sir. I'm in Miami. I rented a car. It was on this station, and I found what you said very interesting.
So you've never heard this show before?
Never heard this show before, but I do say one thing that you say. I'm not 100% Obama supporter. I'm supporting Obama because I want to say, okay, let's see if it works. I think he made major mistakes. You know.
Well, what do you mean? Let's see if what works. The guy took a $1 trillion deficit and turned it into a $3 trillion deficit. You have the most corrupt administration in American history. You got an administration that disrespects the military. I mean, how much worse could it get? But I appreciate your listenership. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here's some news for you if you're interested in the serious situation. The Syrian Islamists trying to overthrow the miserable dictator, as you well know. I mean, there's no winner here. Bashar Assad is a miserable, murderous dictator. But the so-called rebels are probably worse than him or on par with him. They've just been given T-62 tanks, 20 Russian-made T-62s, from Libya, paid for by Qatar. I mean, you can call it gutter. It's hard to pronounce that country. Qatar, gutter, getter, gutter. After providing the so-called rebels with their first Stinger anti-air missiles. So what's going to happen next is, you want to hear my guess what's coming next? The Syrian dictator will no doubt launch his chemical and biological weapons against his enemies. This is going to escalate the war. The 20 Russian-made T-62s that the Islamists who are trying to topple the dictator have just gotten, he's now going to launch his last weapons, which will be chemical and biological. That's going to be a disaster like we have not seen currently in 30 years in the world. Then on the go to the Middle East, we read that Obama has a personal feud with Netanyahu over Iran. They have a more and more intense fight going on the closer Israel comes to attacking Iran's nuclear program. And collateral to that story is the fact that neither the U.S. nor Israel can wipe out Iran's nuclear capabilities, only delay them. The last moment for totaling the nuclear program was 2007, but it didn't happen then for obvious reasons, and it won't happen now. My estimation is, I'm guessing Israel will not attack Iran. The only hope is that Ahmadinejad disappears from the planet. The only hope for the world is that Hitler's descendant, Ahmadinejad, and his rhetoric of killing the Jews is no longer heard in the world. Because there's no question in my mind that Iran is going to become a nuclear power. And like all other nuclear powers on Earth, they have to be a legitimate, reliable member of the international community. You cannot permit a rogue, insane, racist demagoguery of this nature to own nuclear weapons. You must stop it at all costs. No other nation with nuclear weapons says we're going to wipe a nation off the earth. No other nation, not China, not Russia, not the U.S. certainly, not South Africa. None of these nations say we're going to use Ahmadinejad, the psychotic descendant of Hitler, says he's going to do it. What would you do if you were the leader of Israel? Would you ignore it? It's a very complex question. It's going to come about. No matter who the next president is, these problems are not going to go away. The horrendous situation that Obama has unleashed in the Middle East with the so-called Arab Spring, which was really an Arab winter, as I told you about on this program over and over again before the term Arab winter was even being used. I coined that phrase. I wrote about it in my books, Trickle Up Poverty. I wrote about it again in Trickle Down Tyranny. I told you what would happen. These are some of the worst events in our lifetime, and we haven't even seen them come home to roost yet. You haven't seen anything yet, because Egypt is a very powerful country. Egypt was at peace with Israel for, I don't know, 30 years because of Mubarak. Mubarak was our best ally in the Middle East. It was the most populous Muslim country. And what did Obama do? Obama sought to topple Mubarak. And what have we gotten as a result? A destabilized African Crescent. So things are not getting better in the world. They've gotten much worse in the world. And yet, on the other hand, if you don't want to hear negativity, I read the blogs. People say, oh, Savage is too negative. I don't want to hear his negativity. Well, then go listen to Huckabee. If you don't want to listen to negativity, go listen to the Schmendrick with a guitar. Go listen to one of these Johnny-come-lately idiots in talk radio who don't know what they're talking about. You want to hear optimism? Go read a book on how to win friends and influence people. But don't listen to Michael Savage. Because let me tell you something else. The world is very dangerous right now. There's a lot of danger. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of flux. There's a lot of perplexity. And if I don't express it, then I shouldn't be in talk radio. I am not on radio. I'm not on radio to make you feel good. My job is not to be a... What's my job? I mean, I can entertain you once in a while if I'm in the mood. I'm not in the mood. I think the world is a terrible place right now. And I have to tell you that. I don't think it's a very good place. On the other hand, it's the best of times. It's the worst of times. I mean, I read my Dickens when I was in college. Because on a personal note, America is a pretty good place to be. Nobody is starving. In fact, there's an epidemic of obesity, thanks to the richness of the agricultural industries in this country, thanks to the genius of the supermarket chains that distribute food so efficiently, thanks to the geniuses who invented the chemical fertilizers that we are all benefiting from. By the way, I eat organic food when I can. I choose it. But thanks to the Green Revolution brought about by the geniuses in the pesticide industry, brought about by the geniuses of agribusiness, thanks to the genius of our distribution system, we are still perhaps the best-fed people on the planet. No, some would say overfed. So we don't have overt starvation. Now I'll give you another negative. Take a look at the drought, something that mankind cannot control. Can't control the drought? So what's happening? Wheat prices are up. Soy prices are up. Oat prices are up. All the grain prices are up. All the meat prices are up. What does that mean to you? Go look at the cost of a steak in a supermarket. So you say, well, okay, so I'll eat less meat. Maybe that's good for you. Take a look at the cost of fish. The fisheries are being depleted by overfishing. So you'll eat less fish. So what are you going to eat? Well, as long as we still have grain and as long as we're still net provider of food to the world, we're okay. But God forbid this trend keeps up, the drought, and God forbid a virus hits the, well, I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to scare you already because it's enough already. All you got to know is your government is at work. Instead of stockpiling food, your government is stockpiling hollow point bullets to make certain that the fat bureaucrats continue to eat their $100,000 plus pensions. That's the important thing. If you want to talk about any of this, then you're crazier than I think, and the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. If you don't want to talk about any of these things, in the next hour we could switch entirely to lifestyle questions. U.S. government's foreign debt hits record $5.29 trillion thanks to Obama's printing of government. Southern Poverty Law Center website put the Family Research Council on a hate map. As a result, an LGBT lunatic pulled out a gun, carried 50 rounds of ammo, and said, I don't like your politics, before opening fire. The Southern Poverty Law Center, in my opinion, is a hate group that should be investigated and closed down by the FBI.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So I've just had a very, difficult, I don't know how to put it, very real hour. I mean, it's kind of grim out there. If you do what I do for a living, you know, I compare myself to an oncologist who knows that the body politic is dying from cancer. And you don't think that the body politic, you know, I know, everyone hates their oncologist. You know anyone who loves their oncologist unless they save you? I'm sort of an oncologist of the media. I can't give you a rosy picture. The patient's very sick. The patient is extremely sick, and the man in charge right now is making the patient sicker. That's basically what I see. I can't change what's going on. The world is a sick place, and yet you have to get up in the morning and go about your business, and we do. One of the reasons I enjoy going into San Francisco, and don't think I jokingly call it San Francisco, San Francisco. I love that city very much. In fact, I would say that of all the places on earth, I feel better there than anywhere on earth. And one of the reasons I love the city, especially this time of year, is I see happy tourists. I see happy, ignorant tourists eating ice cream. I see happy, ignorant tourists eating oysters. I see happy, ignorant Europeans on social welfare pensions, getting drunk during the day with their little communist backpacks, the little gray-haired commies coming in from wherever. It's a pleasure to watch them as the world disappears under their feet. the Islamization of Europe is going on. And you know what it is they're eating and drinking their way into eternity. What can they do about it anyway, they figure? They certainly don't want to join the far right. See, anyone who opposes the Islamization of Europe is not called a hero or a patriot or a nationalist. They're called the far right. And likewise in America, anyone who sees the flood of illegal aliens who are stealing the country out from under our feet and the quisling politicians in both parties who are pandering to the flood of illegal aliens from Mexico primarily, anyone who stands up to them is called Nazi, racist, right-winger, extremist, instead of being called patriot and constitutionalist. That is because there's been a gigantic propaganda campaign that's been conducted for 30 years in the schools where people don't even understand what a patriot is anymore. Everything is upside down. It's Alice in Wonderland. So if you're schooled in the rhetoric, as I am, and if you're schooled in what's happened to our country, as I am, and if you've lived sort of the number of decades that I have lived and gone through all of the moltings that I have gone through. Remember, I started out as a New York City welfare worker. I was never on welfare. I was the guy who gave them the checks. And the beginning of my political awareness began when I was a welfare worker, which I don't know how many years ago this is, 1965. I was a welfare worker in New York City. First job out of college, I was working for the New York City Department of Welfare. I think they call it something else now. I think it's called the New York City Democrat Party. I'm not quite sure what they renamed it. But I was a welfare worker on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. That was a once beautiful neighborhood, now beautiful again. At that time, it had fallen into disrepair, and these beautiful buildings were garbage. They were filled with rats and garbage cans, and people on welfare lived there. They had some beautiful views. I remember going in those stinking hallways. My job was to, visit the welfare recipients and see how they were doing to make sure that they had enough money. So I never forget, as long as I live, and I wrote about it. I actually wrote about this in one of my stories that I don't think has been published yet. I think How I Became a Conservative. It began in 1965. Here I was, a guy making $5,600 a year as a worker for the New York City Department of Welfare. I go into the apartment of Mr. S, Mrs. S, and let's call her Mrs. R, Mrs. R. She was a single mom getting every benefit known to mankind, and she was a new recipient of welfare. I had to go in and find out what kind of furniture she had in her house, and if she didn't have any, we had to provide her with a check to buy it. So I come back to the welfare office, and my supervisor, a woman, a very nice middle-aged white lady, a do-gooder, says to me, let's go down the list. Did she have a sofa? No. She said, write down $300. Did she have end tables? No. That's $65 each. Did she have a coffee table? That's $100. Did she have two end chairs? No. That's another $200. And so forth and so on. Every room in the house had to have a certain minimal amount of furniture paid for by the New York City Department of Welfare. I had to cut this woman a check for $5,000 for furniture. I swear to God. I went home that night to my apartment. Here I was working. I was the welfare worker with a college degree. I was sleeping on a mattress on the floor. I had no sofa, no end tables. I had bricks and boards for bookcases, you know, as we did in those days. I didn't feel poor. I was a happy, you know, go lucky guy at that time. All I wanted to do was make a few bucks and have a good time at the end of the day, like most people in their 20s. I wasn't trying to save the world. But I said, wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture? This person on welfare is getting a check for $5,000 for furniture because it's considered uncivil to live without it and I have no furniture? How does that work? Well, I let that go. Then I go back a couple of weeks later to check up on Mrs. R again. And I notice that there's a pair of men's shoes under her bed. And she was supposed to be a single mom, you know, mom, the sacred mom thing. And I saw a pair of man's shoes under her bed. Then in those days, a person on welfare was not supposed to own a telephone. As I'm interviewing her, again, a phone starts to ring, and there's no phone in the house. So I said to her, Mrs. R, your bed is ringing. Perhaps you should answer the pillow. So I go back, and I say to the supervisor, there's a man living there. She has a phone. Nothing happened. Well, of course, the rest is history. The woman probably then got a job under Mayor Lindsay, and today is retired, probably at $100,000 a year as a supervisor, as a former supervisor or something. So I've been through many, many cycles, many different careers. I've seen things in my own life and in the lives of others. And I'm giving you one man's opinion. Either you agree with me or you don't agree with me. It doesn't mean you have to agree with me 100%, but pretty much you know what I'm talking about because I've been there and I've seen what's going on in this country. Now let's go full circle. How did we get a president named Barry Obama to run for office when nobody even knew where he came from? Nobody knew this man. Nobody knew where he came from. There are people who were at Columbia Law School at the same time he was allegedly there who say that everyone in the Columbia Law class of those years knew everybody else. They don't remember Barry being in that class. Nobody remembers him. They have no recollection of him being there. How did he get into Columbia? Did he get in through affirmative action? How did he get into Harvard? Harvard Law, rather. They don't remember him in the Harvard Law class. Pardon me. They don't remember him in the Harvard Law class. How did he get into Columbia? No one knows. How did he get into Harvard? Nobody knows. And so people say, wait a minute, do you know that if you want to become an FBI agent, well, it used to be true, there was a background test. Today there probably is one. If you're a returning war hero, you wouldn't pass the background check for the FBI today. If you're a member of a certain, let's go with that, I'm not on stage. In those days, you had to pass a background check to be a member of the Secret Service. Today, I don't know what the background check is, if there is any more under Obama. I would think he just appoints his SA as he wishes. But in those days, there was a background check to become an FBI agent. There was a background check to become a Secret Service agent. Do you know that Obama could not have passed the background check to be an FBI agent when he ran for office? Why? Because of his associations with known communists and terrorists, namely Bill Ayers and Bernadette Dorn, amongst others, Franklin Marshall. He could not have become an FBI agent. The man couldn't even be on his own Secret Service detail, and yet he's the president of the United States. You say, well, and what does that mean? Well, what does that mean? Take a look. You've got the largest deficit in American history. You got a man who caters to the enemies of America. You got a man who shafts the allies of America, and so forth and so on. And so I say it's very hard to be an optimist when there's so much negativity in this country and in this world. And yet people want to hear optimism about Romney Ryan. As I said yesterday, Ryan is a decent man, a good man, a fine man. But adding Ryan to the Romney ticket is the equivalent of adding white rice to a meal of white bread. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It's the Savage Nation, a radio talk show, news, views, and reviews. That's how I see this show. News some days, views some days, reviews of movies, books, whatever. It's a commentary show. If you care to join the conversation and you pass Doug Lynn's screening, you'll be heard by more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life. Is Doug still in today? So I'm going through a new phase in my life. I've come through something through the eye of a storm. And I told you before that I went through some phases in my life where I was very deeply religious or spiritual. Then I went out of phase with God. And I've been out of phase with God for a long time. I admit it. Doubting whether he existed, not really believing in any religion. The Muslim fanatics beat religion out of me. Because I said, if anyone could start killing their own mankind and cutting their heads off for religious beliefs, I want nothing to do with it. But then I said, I shouldn't let the Muslim fanatics drive me away from God. They're an anomaly. They've stolen their own religion for the sake of their own political advancement in the name of religion. So why should I let them drive me away from my own belief in God? And so the older I get, the more I realize there's no other way to look at the world except through the lens of there is a God. He is in heaven. I will be judged. And that's the end of it. I can't apply too much rationalization to these questions. And so I made a commitment last night to God that every day I'd read a line or two from the Bible. So you could, if you're an atheist or you're offended by the word God, I suggest that you turn on sports radio right now because I'm going to read something from the Bible for 1 second. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. That's it. It's over. I made a commitment. But then I was stumbling around in Exodus, and I found that there really is, despite what the Southern Poverty Law Center says, despite what Obama says, despite what the left-wing media implies, There actually are 10 commandments in the Bible. I couldn't believe it. I would have thought that they were illegal. I would have thought that the 10 commandments never existed. I would have thought, had I listened to MSNBC, that the 10 commandments were never even written. But I stumbled upon them in Exodus, and they're really simple. And do you know what precedes the 10 commandments? Honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. But listen to how simple that is. That's what precedes the 10 commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother. It doesn't say honor thy father and thy father. It doesn't say honor thy mother and thy mother. It says honor thy father and thy mother. Simple, but very important. So what's the first commandment? Thou shalt not murder. It doesn't say thou shalt not kill. It says thou shalt not murder. If you know the Hebrew, there's a difference between the word kill and murder, as there is in English. Thou shalt not murder. You're allowed to kill in self-defense, incidentally. By the way, I don't know if you know that. There's nothing written about being a pacifist, because you can then turn to the Ecclesiastes of Turn, 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 the great song, where they say there's a time for everything. To everything there is a season. To everything there is a purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up. A time to kill and a time to heal. It's an amazingly powerful couplet. Do you know that I know a very religious man in his old age who didn't know that it came from the Bible? He himself is a Bible reader. He didn't know that that song by the Mamas and the Papas came from Ecclesiastes. You have no idea how powerful the Bible really is in terms of our literature and our thinking. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. How simple is that? How simple is that? How simple is that? Do you think people want to see others tongue kissing in public? A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love, that we all know, but there's also a time to hate, according to the Old Testament. A time for war and a time for peace. How do you like that? So unless you understand what I'm saying to you right now, this show is probably not for you. There is a time for love, but this is not the time for love. There is a time for peace, but right now there's an enemy that is encircling us, and we are at war whether you want to know it or not. We're engaged in war on a daily basis. We have enemies everywhere you turn, even the Russians. Ran a nuclear attack submarine in the Gulf of Mexico for days or weeks not too long ago. This was a stealth submarine designed to kill our own submarines. It went into the Gulf of Mexico undetected. It snooped on our subs undetected. It had intercontinental ballistic missiles undetected, and then it left the Gulf of Mexico. Now, why would our once great submarine fleet not have detected this stealth Russian submarine? Answer, the worst commander-in-chief in American history, Obama. The most anti-military, the most psychotically anti-military president in American history. That's right. I choose my words very carefully. Instead of building up the nuclear submarine fleet, he says we're going to have women on submarines. So the entire submarine fleet over the last 3 months was spending all of its time wondering how they can retrofit submarines so that females could be accommodated on a submarine rather than protecting the nation or protecting attack submarines from incursions by other nations. This is what I'm trying to tell you is going on. I'm like Paul Revere, but Paul Revere himself was probably not loved by many during his time. He was probably called a member of a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center in the colonial days. So you have to understand that there are 10 commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's to all of you out there who have borne false witness against Michael Savage. There are many, many things that the Bible can teach us, and there are many things that most of us don't want to know about. And I know most people listening to talk radio are not Bible-reading people. They just want to hear news and views and reviews, and I do that most of the time. But I've made a commitment to God that I'm going to read a little bit from the Bible every day, and we'll see. It'll be short most days. It won't be painful. If you object, call Obama.
Seven.
A time to die, a time to plan, a time.
Savage Nation. It's a time to listen. It's a time to talk. There's a season to everything. And this is the season of our discontent. Everybody in America with a brain knows something's very wrong. Everybody senses that this man is illegitimate. Everybody senses he is the great divider. Except the party apparatchiks and those benefiting directly from the gravy train. Everybody understands that the Republicans are using kid gloves for fear of being called names. You know what names they'll be afraid of being called. And so we are now facing the beginning of the end of the end of the beginning. Nobody really knows. And that's why I say people are in great fear. I know lifetime Democrats who were once huge donors to the Democrat Party who will not give any money to this party anymore because of Obama and his corruption and his divisiveness. I'm not going to name names, obviously. Lifetime Democrats who won't even disclose this to their friends for fear that they'll be blackballed in their industries. They are not giving a dime to this regime. They fear them. They fear them like the enemy within. Play Mr. Tambourine Man, because that was a debut album by the American folk rock band The Byrds. By the way, it was not the Mamas and the Papas, it was The Byrds. I was corrected by someone who knows that era very well. I don't know that era very well, but that's that. Oh, well, play the Dylan version. He wrote it. Play Bob Dylan.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy, and there is no place I'm going to. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man.
Same name as Zimmerman. Same name as the Trayvon Martin guy. One strummed a guitar, the other shot a Glock. Shows you, I mean, what you can do with your fingers. You can play an instrument or you can pull a trigger. Oh, God, what a world it is. I don't know if I want to continue right now. I mean, with this kind of talk. Maybe it's upsetting certain people and they're liable to get angry and upset. They're liable to, I don't know, they're liable to do something awful if I keep talking like this. You can't tell. See, but the thing is that Tea Party people don't kill. Tea Party people don't hurt. Tea Party people don't leave garbage. It's the other side that kills, that shoots, that leaves garbage, that spews violence and hatred. Yeah, really, it's true. The Biden thing with the, I'm going to put you all back in chains, disgusting. You should have resigned. But, you know, Biden's long been known for loose lips that sink ships. Very well known in Democrat circles for being a lunatic. What would you like to talk about? 1-800-449-8255. My old days as a welfare worker, I've told you the story, how the worm started to turn from lifetime, from childhood liberal into a realist. I was young at the time. What did I know? I didn't change politics. I didn't even know politics then. My father was a Democrat. My mother was a Democrat. They were immigrants. Well, yeah, I heard the story. All I know is the Democrats are for the little guy. Them Republicans are for big business. Oh, let's see if I can figure that one out. Nancy Pelosi's wealth has grown 68% in the last year, and she's for the little guy? Huh? Excuse me? Wait a minute. Some of the richest people in Congress are all Democrats? And they're for the little guy? No, that doesn't apply anymore. Doesn't quite apply the same way I grew up with. Let me take some callers, okay? Houston, Texas. Ross, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. I got a great little fact for you. You were talking about how nobody knows how Obama got into school or no one knew him. Well, I'm in pharmacy school right now, and that's a doctorate program.
Uh-huh.
We still have people, even after going through undergrad, going through high school, taking SATs, ACTs, we still have people that get medically diagnosed with ADD
mm-hmm.
and get to take exams. This is in a...
Oh, yeah. They have special tutors. They can look at the books with the answers because otherwise they sue the school.
Sir... Yes, they get to take exams in a separate room with a proctor. I think that,
right, with the answers in a book, because their parents have done this for them from the first grade, suing grade schools if they wouldn't give them special tutors that cost the district $50,000 a year or whatever. I see what's going on.
These are the
that would be great. So in other words, the logical extension of this is that we wind up with a blind person who insists on becoming an airline pilot?
Yeah.
we wind up with a shady character from the streets of Chicago or Indonesia or Kenya or Hawaii who becomes president? Is that how that ends up?
That's how it ends up. That's right.
Okay, yeah. The birds. Everybody, people I didn't even know listening to my show are saying the birds, not the mamas and the papas. And you know, I think the people, even the most atheistic person listening to the show, here's something I love. You want to hear this? They actually like when I read from the Bible. I'll tell you why I figured this out. I'll tell you why I figured this out a long time ago. And here's the reason. It's because most people listen to radio and not religious. Most are not. And they don't go to the church. They don't go to temple. Most people listen to radio. They're listening for other reasons. Entertainment, news, whatever. The passion of the host, whatever. They don't know what he's going to do. Little distraction. But deep within all thinking people, not two generations back, there was a very religious person in their life. It mattered. Christian, Jewish, doesn't matter. Not two generations back, there was a very deeply religious person in their lives. They may not have even have met that person. So religion is actually still in the DNA of people in the United States of America, especially the older people. The younger ones, I doubt it. They've been brainwashed. I don't know what they have in their souls. But I would say most people over the age of 40 are not two generations away from a super religious person in their lineage, right? So when I read from Jeremiah or from Ecclesiastes, it resonates in them. They're kind of like, oh, well, they feel that they got a little, they feel something different in them. And then they go home at the end of the day, they say, you know what? I was listening to the radio. They may not even say it to anyone because they'd be embarrassed. I was listening to this guy, Michael Savage, and he read something from the Bible, the Ten Commandments, and something resonated with me. That's what they feel because they want a little bit of the light. The lightness of being is what they want. You know what religion is for? What does religion break itself down to? What is religion for? Think about what is religion for? Do you think God needs you to worship him? A very, very, very advanced rabbi once, I was very cynical and I was no longer interested in religion a long time ago. So I said to him, if God's so great, what does he need me to bow down to him for? So this guy who was a mystic, he said, God doesn't need you to bow down to him. He said, you need to bow down to God, the God. I said, okay, I got it. He hit the like right off the bat, bing. I mean, some of these guys are so smart. God doesn't need you to bow down to him. He doesn't care. What does he care whether you bow down to him? You're not even a worm to him. You're less than an atom. It's because you're so small and insignificant in the scheme of things that you need to bow down to this greatness, the creator, whatever it is. However you define it, you know what I'm saying? You need to say, oh, my God, I can't believe this. You see? That's what I'm getting at. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice, that useth his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not his hire. So ultimately, what is the purpose of religion? Man is such a bad being. Humans are so fundamentally awful. This creation called Homo sapiens is fundamentally so bad that he needed a guidebook. He needed something to guide the wildness in him, the bestiality, the evil. He needed something. So you could say God came down on a spaceship and talked to whatever. He came down on a shining, and he, you know, the burning bush and the mountain and the rumble and Charlton Heston and rumbling in the volcano and the Ten Commandments. However, right? I'm giving you the pastiche. And so what is it? Is it man's word or is it God's word? At the end of the day, does it matter? What it is a guidebook for the average man. In other words, I don't mean every word. But can anyone argue with the Ten Commandments? Is there a listener to this show, atheist, not atheist, who can argue that the Ten Commandments... Which of the Ten Commandments would you argue with? Now, I would say a liberal would argue with all 10 of them. I've actually done this before. I actually analyzed this. And to a liberal, there are no commandments. Let's start with the first. Honor thy father and thy mother. Liberal says, why should I honor my father and my mother? They were no good. Okay. First, thou shalt not murder. Why shouldn't I have people murdered if I don't like them? Thou shalt not commit adultery. In America? Thou shalt not steal, Solyndra. welfare. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Are you kidding? Our entire party is built upon that. Look at Obama. Everything he says is false witness against his neighbor, Romney. Here's another one for Obama. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. The man ridicules anyone who has a decent house. He puts them down. He's engaging in class warfare. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. So we all heard that. That's all. So literally, I mean, what does it mean? It boils down to this. It boils down to this. When I was a kid 18, 20, I don't know how old, young and foolish, simply wanted to go to Europe and party around the clock, drink as much wine as I could, buy hashish in Paris if I could find it, smoke it on the streets of Paris, which I did, horrible stuff, terrible mind-bending garbage, the worst drug on the planet. I went to Europe on a ship called the MV Waterman. It was a converted troop ship from World War II, a real tub. It took 10 days to go from New York City to Southampton. There was some of the best days of my life. It was all college kids. It was incredible. It was incredible. We slept all day and partied all night. So I was in a room for four, me and two of my friends, and then an old man somehow wound up in there, an 85-year-old blind Dutchman. I'm not making it up. So I was like always the introspective, like sort of depressed, funny kid. I was very humorous and always able to entertain, but deep down there was something always bothering me about everything. So I would often go down to the cabin to talk to the old blind man. So I remember talking to the old blind man on that ship. And I said to him, I was that kind of kid, forgive me. I said, old man, what is the meaning of life? So he looks up at me with his unseeing blue eyes. And he says, the meaning of life? The meaning of life? I figured I'd hear something profound. He says, why, I don't know, you're born holding it and you die holding it. That was the profundity that I got on the MV Waterman. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, here we are. Obama says, I don't think anyone would suggest I've tried to divide the country. Oh, no. Not me. Michelle Obama lectures us on health foods, and I call her affectionately Lord of the Fries. That didn't make it to the major media, I understand, but it's a pretty good line. Yep, we got the Lord of the Fries telling us to eat health foods, and we got a man who's divided America saying he's not a divider. That's right. There you go. That's the world you live in. So you can give me a call at 1-800-449-8255, and if you get on the air through Doug the Screener, you will reach more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life. Think of that's pretty scary that people get scared talking on radio. It's like, can I do it? You can do it. It's easy. But don't call because there's no lines. Sacramento, California, Lance, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I'd like to encourage everybody. They can call and talk on the radio. It's very easy. Uncle Mo, you mentioned yep. Uncle Mo many years ago. Will he be in the book Train Tracks? I want Uncle Mo stories.
Let me think. I loved him. I miss all my uncles. They're all dead, of course. I've been thinking about it. It's like they're all gone. Those days were so beautiful. I don't know. I don't remember the book that well, what I put in it. Yeah, what'd you like about Uncle Mo? Which story did you like the best?
Well, there's only one I know of, and it's where Uncle Mo gives you a slide rule.
Oh, I still have it. I found it the other day in my drawer. I went into high school geometry. Remember, I was one of the first... second kid in the family, third to go to college. They were all immigrants. And he was so proud to give me a slide rule. To this day, I can't use the slide rule. It was so complicated. They built the Golden Gate Bridge with a slide rule. They built airplanes with slide rules. They were geniuses, the engineers of those in those days. They built everything with a slide rule. Can you believe it?
Certainly.
The Empire State Building, slide rule, no computers. All I know is pi to this day. I had many a migraine from the pie I ate in those days, but I still know what pie is on a slide rule.
Yes.
No, they were great. I was thinking about it, how today, you know, when I see Hispanic families today, I see my own self in them in many ways. When I see them living together in, let's say, one little house or one little room, and the family's very close-knit, any immigrant group, where the families are very close-knit and they hang out and go to holidays together. They're very much the same as the American experience. So don't misinterpret what I say about immigration, because you're missing it, the whole point. I am totally in favor of legal immigration if it makes sense, not just a floodgate of people crossing the border and being turned into instant citizens so they can be instant voters. That's a violation of everything people died for. What is more sacred in this country than the voting box? Nothing. Nothing. If you let a president steal your vote as he has, he's fundamentally stolen your life. It's like the Bible says, he who takes away a man's, what's the word? I'm slipping now. I feel like the Don, the old Don. Oh, a mill. He who takes away a man's millstone, it's as though he has killed him. What does that mean? And they took everything away from me. The one thing, why wouldn't they take your millstone? Because the millstone is how you ground the grain to make make bread or whatever. So, he who takes away a man's millstone, it is as though he has killed him. The same holds true for the vote. He who steals the vote in a democracy steals democracy itself. Or he who steals the vote as though he has killed a nation. Obama's just stolen the vote. He's killed a nation. By the stroke of a penny grants amnesty to several million illegal aliens, how many of those people are going to vote illegally? Well, we don't know, because Janet Napolitano, the head of the Gestapo, the DHS Gestapo, is suing every state in the country that wants to protect the sacred nature of the voting rights. So instead of the Gestapo stopping the illegal aliens from voting, they want to stop those who want to stop the illegal aliens from voting. And you wonder why people are full of pain right now. Then they look at the corruption. It looks like Hermann Göring in a skirt. They look at DHS. They know it's corrupt. And they see it's an out-of-control feminist sorority house. And these are the people in charge of the intelligence apparatus in the United States of America. Is it any wonder that people are sick and tired and they can't take any more of this corrupt administration? Is it any wonder they see Hermann Göring in a skirt? And they see what's going on, and they know it's going on. They intuitively see it's going on. It wouldn't be bad enough if that's what was going on. But they're corrupt, and they're un-American. They're anti-American. Anyone who stands up is called an enemy of the state. So it's very bad. We're descending into a very dark place in this country. It's far worse than you may think. And I want to remind you something else. If you watch movies of the early 20s in Germany, let's say the Weimar Republic era, you see the masses of people moving in the streets of Berlin, and then you see the riots of the communists constantly beating up anybody who disagreed with them. And arose to oppose them were the Nazis. The brown shirts arose to defend themselves against the communists, who were the original street thugs. And God only knows where that led. That led to a disaster for the world. And so you must snuff the violence wherever it begins. In this case, it is beginning with the communists. It is beginning with the haters on the left. They are the violent ones right now. It is history repeating itself. And I remind you of another image. Even when people were suffering and dying and being tortured in Auschwitz and Treblinka and Birkenau and all of the other death camps, the sky was blue, the clouds were white, and the birds were flying overhead. And the good Germans ate their cream pies and dressed their children in white dresses. And I'll leave that image with you. As we depart this hour of the Savage Nation, I hope you've enjoyed the program thus far. There's another big hour across America. Join us right here on the Savage Nation.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
won't believe the audio that we have for you today on the Savage Nation. Obama says he's not the great divider. Why is he even asking the question? Because he knows that's his campaign.
Romney just accused you of running a campaign of hate and anger. How do you react to that? How do you respond to that?
Well, Nancy, you've been on the campaign trail with me for a day and a half, and this is pretty typical of what we do. We're going around the country talking about how do we put people back to work, how do we improve our schools, how do we make sure that we're producing American energy, how do we lower our debt in a responsible way. And I don't think you or anybody who's been watching me campaign would suggest that in any way we have tried to divide the country. We've always tried to bring the country together.
Now, here's some of the things the liar has said.
Either we ask the wealthiest Americans to pay their fair share in taxes, or we're going to have to ask seniors to pay more for Medicare.
They're going to put you all back in chains.
You didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
In America, there's a failure to appreciate Europe's leading role in the world.
Corporations have to give up tax loopholes that other companies don't get.
I think when you spread the wealth around, it's good for it.
Whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation.
At least he thanked me.
Hi, everybody. I want to take a moment today to thank Dr. Michael Savage because he possesses a deep understanding of how jobs are created and how our system of government and politics works.
Savage cares about his country. He is proud, but he's also a patriot.
When you listen to Savage, it's pretty apparent
that my administration has been plagued by corruption for years.
Here are the Obamas talking about fake food at the fair. Let the others eat carrots.
And yes, we experienced the magic of our first fried Twinkie. Yes, we did. Even though you say I don't let you eat them, you eat what you want. And I have to say that we're all very jealous that Barack got to go back to the fair without us last week. Did you have a fried Twinkie?
Pork chop and beer.
He's so pleased with himself.
Tasty. I guess beer is the new health food, especially if you're trying to reach the blue-collar Eddie.
There's good reason for the president to talk about beer as a way to reach these crucial voters who will decide this election. There's fascinating market research that actually shows that independent voters are more likely to have drunk a beer in the last 30 days than those who call themselves Democrats or Republicans. Romney is also a Mormon, and he doesn't drink. In fact, when Obama was buying beers this week for visitors at the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines, Romney was scooping ice cream in a 1950-style parlor in small-town Ohio.
Here is the media ignoring the LGBT terrorist shooting.
New information now.
The FBI is now investigating the motive behind a shooting at a Christian lobbying group in Washington, D.C. this morning. A man shot a security guard in the arm at the headquarters of the Family Research Council.
Who is the suspect?
A 28-year-old Virginia man.
Authorities were combing his neighborhood in the D.C. suburbs yesterday.
He purchased a 9mm handgun. He purchased it legally from a gun shop in Virginia.
Pretending to be an intern.
Clearly, the investigation is ongoing.
The FBI has the suspect in custody, and
this is just in the very beginning stages.
Looking for clues.
Police say it's too soon to know if the group was targeted because of its conservative beliefs.
Hey, not everybody's giving Biden the pass.
I found these remarks to be profoundly insulting. You know, it's one thing to be familial. It's another thing to become familiar. And familiarity breeds contempt. And this is very, very close to being contemptuous. These remarks are insulting. Not only does he need to dial them back, he needs to apologize.
Here's something you're not going to believe. Spike Lee supporting Obama. I never would have guessed.
I'm 100% in support of him, and I'm going to do what I can to see that he gets a second term. And I think that historically, second terms, you get to do what you want because 4 years,
you're out. There's a courage that comes with a second term because yes, there's a kind of, well, I'm not going to be here, right? So
well, look,
this is my legacy moment.
Any job, if you don't have that threat of, you love soccer. Mm. You're the coach of a team. You know, there's freedom that comes with knowing that your job is not at stake.
Here's what's on michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, borders, language, culture. Governor Jan Brewer blocks illegals from receiving public benefits. These are the illegal aliens that Obama just turned into ordinary citizens. Now they want public benefits. She said, no way, Jose. Pardon me, but that's what she didn't say. Here's a story that didn't make it to your local paper. The lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender terrorist shooter hated Christian groups' politics, which is why he opened fire at the guard. He ripped Family Research Council policies before opening fire with his handgun. Didn't make it to your local paper, girls? No one will be charged in MF Global collapse with more than $1 billion in customer funds lost by John Corzine. Nobody will be charged. We are living in a corrupt banana republic under Obama. White House is sticking with Joe Biden. A select group of federal retirees collect six-figure pensions, over $100,000 a year retirement funds for government workers. Obama says, I don't think anyone would suggest I've tried to divide this country. I wonder why he would say that. Clampdown on Egypt's media raises fears. Duh. Excuse me? Islamists? Egypt? Are they crazy? What else is on michaelsavage.com? Let's see. Obama's war in Afghanistan ticks on, and more American troops are being shot by our Afghan allies. Fort Hood shooting suspect. The Muslim Nidal Hassan refuses to shave his beard, thereby blocking the trial, saying it's an expression of his Muslim faith. ICE official on leave over sorority girl behavior at DHS. Yeah, right. Like it's not coming from the top down. New Black Panther, we must create military to murder babies and skin white people. Ho-hum. Six black teens beat a white man because they were just bored. No hate crime charges. Savage. Bhagwan Shri Obama leading the Democrat cult. What else is on michaelsavage.com? How did Harry Reid get rich? Unbelievable. You mean through his office? And also, antibacterial soaps are linked to impaired muscle function. Believe it or not, there's a chemical inside antibacterial soaps that could contribute to heart disease and heart failure. I cannot believe these chemicals, how powerful they are. Finally, on michaelsavage.com, Michael Savage on his high school rifle team. There I am with my gun. This is my rifle. This is my gun. This is my yearbook. I had some fun. But I still put out a challenge to anyone else in the media to prove that they were on their high school rifle team. I mean, let's talk about this. Rush? No. Hannity? Nail guns don't count. Glenn Beck? AA didn't let you bring a gun into the meeting. Michael on his high school rifle team. I am the only member of the American media who has ever been on a rifle team in high school. That's great. All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. Wait, hang on before I go. You know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome. Welcome to the Savage Nation. We see, of course, that China is not really a free country. We see that human rights are still being violated in China, especially against young children who are taken away from their families and brutalized, turned into future robotic Olympians. And yet, what shall I say? Do you find it shocking that children are stolen from their parents in China, turned over to the state, basically tortured into becoming nothing but trained dogs in order to beat other countries in the Olympics? You say, well, who cares? Well, I don't know. What do you care about? Black pastors are saying Obama doesn't have the black vote in his pocket, even though he thinks he does. And they say that his support for homosexual marriage may cost him the election amongst blacks. Do you believe that? CNN clobbered again in ratings fight, down by double digits across the board. Is it any wonder when you got people wearing love beads behind the scenes at CNN? Yes, they still wear love beads behind the scene at CNN. Yes, they are so into Obama's pocket that they can't even smell the lint. Ann Romney slammed for a $990 shirt while Michelle Obama was praised for wearing a $6,800 jacket. Is it any wonder people hate the liberal media? Ann Romney was attacked for wearing a $990 shirt a while ago, while the rats in the media look the other way when Michelle Obama appears wearing a $6,800 jacket. Is it any wonder that CNN has clobbered again in ratings fight? What else are we talking about? I don't know that I even want to talk about that, but I do want to talk about many other topics here in the Savage Nation. And I'll tell you something I'd like to talk about on this summer day, since most normal people have turned off about the election. They've already tuned out of the election. They'll tune back in somewhere again here and there when something pops up. They're basically doing things with their families or they're on vacation. They could care less about a Muslim mob attacking a bar for serving alcohol during Ramadan in Indonesia. They could care less about Israel. They could care less about illegals who come to America and are committing one crime after another, despite Obama's protection of them. They don't really care. I guess what they think about is, you know what I mean? Let me get through the day. Let me enjoy myself, and I could care less. I can't control it. So let me ask you kind of a hobby question. One of my hobbies is cars. It has been. I mean, I've been a car nut, as it were, since I've been a kid, going way, way back to my first car, a 1955 Oldsmobile two-door salesman's model. I've written about it in my forthcoming book, Train Tracks, which are my memoirs, ranging all the way back. Most of the stories you've never heard on the radio. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Let me ask you to buy a hobby car, a classic. What would it be? A Chrysler, Chevy, Lincoln, Chevy, Duesenberg, Packard, Chrysler, LaSalle? Would it be a Buick, a Bugatti, a Porsche, a Dino, a Ferrari, a Chrysler, an Alfa, an Aston, a DKW, a Chevy, a Columbia, a Cadillac? Do you have a favorite that you would buy if you could, or have you bought a favorite? I was shocked, for example, to see the other day that a 57 Eldorado Biarritz, which is really a truck of a car, sold for $160,000. It's hard to believe. The estimate went for as high as 2.25. Nevertheless, someone paid $160,000 for a 57 Caddy. Look, I own a 65. You know, they stink up the garage. Here's a 57 Chevy Corvette for $120,000. A 57 Chevy Corvette is a nice car, but you could buy a new Corvette for $60,000. Why would you want a 57 Chevy Corvette for twice the price? I don't know. People want these things. Here's a Chrysler 300C for 1955, sold for $80,000. A truck of a car, but people seem to want the Hemi. I don't think you want to talk about cars, but if you do, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game. So what I think I'm going to do right now is start taking calls cold, no matter what the topic is. Line one, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, you were talking about cars, and thank you for taking my call. I was just a 1970 Challenger RT with a piston grip with a full 40 under the hood and a six back on there.
But why would you like that car? Tell me what you like about that car.
Well, it was my first car, and that was there was a movie that came out of that era.
So wait, wait. Do you think that a lot of American males still have a car fetish or a love for cars? You know, you look at people, the kind of ugly little stinking boxes they're driving on the roads today. No style, no substance, basic transportation, like little Euro socialist boxes with wheels. But a lot of guys seem to buy these collectibles. Why is that?
Well, because it takes you back to you. I'm 58 years old, and it takes me back to my youth day. And
would you rather talk about this than about Obama versus Romney, for example, right now for a few minutes?
I'd rather talk about politicians as well. I think that this year president is not doing hardly nothing at all for all of us in this country that we love and I even care about, because I even went out to Vietnam and fought for it. And this year, man, does not care one bit about the United States of America.
Well, you know, if Obama wore a car, what kind of car would he be? I would say he'd be a Chevy Volt. That needs to constantly be recharged in order to run more than 6 miles. Thanks for the call.
Savage.
Let's go to a political call. Julie in New York on WR. What's the political topic?
I just wanted to make a comment about a few years back, Kathy Lee Gifford was made out to be a monster in the media because she had teens making her clothes over in Latin America. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes, yes.
She wound up having to leave the station and everything, but here we have
We have underage people in China being stolen from their parents, forced to perform like trained SEALs, and there's no comment from the media, but you know why, don't you, Julie? But that's your point. I understand that. 1-800-449-8255. I noticed that Chick-fil-A is jammed right now. Chick-fil-A sales are booming, despite the fact that one of the moronic politicians in Chicago banned the company from Chicago because of their stance on traditional marriage. Now Chick-fil-A locations across the nation are seeing people coming out to express support for the fast food chain after CEO Dan Cathy said in an interview that he is a firm backer of traditional marriage. He said, the fact of the matter is people are voting with their pocketbooks and they're buying Chick-fil-A. That's very interesting. It's a boom for them. And the fact is the mayors of Chicago and Boston heap scorn upon the company. The mayor of Washington, D.C. suggested it was peddling hate chicken. And yet these comments drew a sharp response from a coalition of African-American pastors headed by Reverend William Owens, who said, some people are saying that because of the position that Chick-fil-A is taking, they don't want them in their cities. He said, it is a disgrace. It is the same thing that happened when I was marching for civil rights, when they didn't want a black to come into their restaurant. That is a black pastor. That man has it exactly right. It just shows you the level of intolerance of the radical left, Mayor Bloomberg, who had it exactly right. Bloomberg said it's not his role to ban stores from his city. He got that one right, incidentally. 1-800-449-8255. We're talking about every topic under the sun. If you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. You saw the headlines. Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day brings out supporters. Bonus checks for GSA workers total far more than previously reported, revealed by a lawmaker. Obama popular in voter-rich states but lagging in key battleground states. And, of course, the fact that children in China are being taken from their families as little babies if they show any sign of athleticism, and they're being trained to compete in the Olympics because it is not a state that believes in individual rights. It is not a nation, rather, that believes in human rights. It is a nation that believes in collectivism, collective rights. Exactly what Obama believes in, exactly what Democrats believe in. When we tell you Obama is a statist, Obama believes in statism and big government, we are telling you he believes that China is doing the right thing in taking children away from their families to make them a pawn of the state. I brought up cars, and the board's now jammed with car calls, and it's an, you know, we're living in a highly political season, but maybe people have had enough of Obama and Romney for a few minutes. I don't know. So I was talking about classic cars, or what kind of car would a Barry Obama be if he were a car. I've gotten some hysterical calls on that one. And I've asked you, if you were to buy a classic car as a hobby car, what would you buy? I'm not sure if I love cars as much as I once did, frankly, but I have a lot to say about cars. In fact, some good and some bad. Get me started. Ask me some questions about cars, like about my Mercedes, if I really like it anymore. Ask me if I like my Cadillac anymore. Ask me if I like my Chevy van anymore. Ask me if I like the Ferrari 430 anymore. Ask me if I really would buy a Jaguar XK anything anymore. Ask me what's the point in an age like this to even get obsessed with a car. Well, you know, it's an interesting question. I said to a woman the other day, I really love my dog. She said, you can't love an animal. She said, that's crazy. She said, they're just animals. She said, they're nice, but you can't love them. I said, why can't you love them? Who said you can't love an animal? Do you think someone's crazy for loving an animal? I mean, many of you are animal lovers, but many of you aren't. Many of you think it's crazy. If you're from a traditional farm family, you never heard of loving an animal. You think people are crazy because you slaughter them and eat them, for example. They're just livestock to you, livestock. Yet to urban dwellers like myself, even though we eat livestock when it's in a package, I mean, we have a thing for animals. So it's a crazy world. It's a skitsy world, I admit it. There's no definitive answer. It's a world of billions of people. There's no one answer for all of this. Religious people don't love animals. Religious Muslims don't have dogs. So far as I know, religious Jews don't have dogs. Am I wrong about that? That the obsession with no animals is not limited to Muslims? That Orthodox Jews also don't have pets? I don't know. Is that true? I don't even know. I don't know if it's true. And Muslim cab drivers from, I believe, Somalia originally wouldn't pick up blind people in Milwaukee. Remember they were first let into the country because America is such a wonderful nation? They said, no, we're not picking up blind people because their dogs are dirty. We won't have them in our taxis. Yeah, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Yeah, that was then, this is now. Now it's when in America, spit on the flag and tell them to go to you-know-where. Because they'll do what we want because it's a nation of wimps interested in sports, cars, dogs, women, and pornography. They have no spine. Well, they're making a big mistake. The Nazis thought the same thing about the American troops. They said that they could sweep us off the planet. The Japanese, who were fanatically great warriors, thought that the American troops wouldn't fight. And in the beginning, by the way, a lot of American troops, according to my reading of history, who were raised to be fair fighters and fair-minded, were shocked to find out that wounded Japanese that they were going to help often had grenades or shot them in the stomach. Well, that didn't last too long because then the American troops started shooting the wounded Japanese troops. You see, you can push a sucker around only so much, and then eventually the nice guy becomes a bigger murderer than you. As a great general by the name of Patton once said to boys who were a little worried as to whether they'd find the courage to fight. We have this soundbite somewhere as played by George C. Scott in that great movie, Patton, where he said, boys, don't worry. You'll know what to do when you see your friend's guts hanging out. Well, the same thing is true with regard to Americans today. Don't underestimate the white male. Don't underestimate the black male. Don't underestimate the Hispanic male. Don't underestimate the American male, even if they have a hyphenated American after their name. You'd be quite surprised what the American male is capable of if he's pushed around. And I pray to God that this country doesn't find itself in that position all over again. And that leads us right back to the Olympics. The Chinese are making a sucker of the entire world, doping their athletes, stealing children, turning them into trained SEALs. A lot of news, you know, Chick-fil-A's gay marriage issue. People are flocking to Chick-fil-A. Syria, you forgot about already because what can you do about it? Now the rebels, so-called, meaning the Islamists, are killing Assad loyalists in the most brutal manner. But you won't read that because the game is, if the word is rebel, it means they're good. They're James Dean and rebel without a cause. the morons at CNN and the rest of the vermin in the media who are so drugged up they don't even know what they've done to the world. Look at Anderson Cooper. The lowest ratings of all on CNN. Why? Because people remember him getting so gushingly excited over the boys in Egypt running around with Blackberries during the riots that they didn't even realize that this guy was a moron. Anderson Cooper's just a pretty boy and a moron. So he thought he could get away with it by saying, oh, look at that. All the young people are protesting in Egypt. Look at that. They have Blackberries. This is a revolution. Look what we have there now, Islamists. Who did it? Anderson Cooper. What happened to him? His ratings are in the garbage can. CNN, because of their slavish worship of left-wing idiocy, their ratings are in the garbage. I don't have to tell you that America, by every poll, is center-right. It is not center-left. This country is more to the right than it is to the left. The last election that occurred, by the way, let me remind you, was not in 2008 when Obama stole the election through chicanery and people thinking he was something that he isn't. It was in 2010 when something like 80 Democrats got thrown out in their behinds. Yes, every time the people are allowed to vote, they say no to radical left-wing social policy, radical left-wing politics. I believe that if Romney got a little tougher and stopped being so wimpy, and he's showing a few signs of some kind of strength, he's moving ahead in the polls. If he got even stronger and the election were held today, he'd win by 20 points. There's no question about it. And that's why I'm talking about cars as well as anything else. You know, I think it's mainly older guys who are interested in cars, to be honest with you. I don't think that younger guys have the car thing that we had, you know, older guy. I really don't think, like, if you look at the Mecum auctions or any of those shows, you really see young people there. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with it. It's older people have money. They have money to spend. It's a piece of nostalgia many of them are buying, you know. But a car is still a big part of American culture. I buy the Hemmings Motor News. You know, what magazines do I buy? You know I write books. That I don't have to tell you, so I don't have to show you I'm a great intellectual. But I buy Hemmings. The minute it comes out to me, it's like I have to have it. I don't know why. I like to read it in the toilet. The print is too small for me, but I like to see, you know, look at the pictures and the prices and this and that and put it down. I like to buy boat magazines. I buy flying magazine. I'm still a frustrated pilot, meaning I don't know how to fly a plane but wish I did. I joke with a pilot on the way out here. I said to him, you know, I put my arm around him. I loved it. I get on this plane. It was a friend's private plane. So he says, I love to ask the pilots what their background is. So the guy, they're very nice. Most of them are really nice. Once I had a bum who asked me for my ID. It was really an insult. He was young, right out of flight school. A jerk. Most of them, though, are really great. They're either retired mainline airline pilots, great guys. This guy had two tours as a Marine pilot in Iraq. In a helicopter, and this was amazing. So now he's flying this plane. So the minute he told me that, and it was before I got on the plane, I put my arm around him. I said, you know, if it weren't for my agoraphobia, I would have been a great pilot. Now, you know, I thought it was a funny line. He laughed. He got a kick out of it. And that's what I like about it. Real men can take a joke and laugh about it. You say that to, like, somebody without a sense of humor, they don't even understand it's funny. We are from different cultures, different backgrounds, different age generation, different generation. He got the joke. He understood it was a joke. When I said if it wasn't for my agoraphobia, I would have been a great Navy pilot. But they've always been my hero, these guys. I love the guy flying the plane because the guy was really, you know, the kind of pilot that if there was an emergency, I would figure I have the best chance of survival in plain English. To me, I don't like a trainee in the cabin. So let's cut it off at that point. You know, I don't want to see a trainee or someone put there by Obama because it looks good on a postcard.
I'll be right back. Savage.
Cadillac 1955 Eldorado beer at 67,000 OBO. Oh, here's one. Remember when my father got his... It's summer. I could tell a car thing, right? My father didn't have a lot of money. He was a small shopkeeper. Made a good living. We owned our own house. I never missed a meal. I went to a municipal college. He told me, you want to go to a private college, you'll have to pay for it yourself. All right, that's what it was. He never went to a college. He couldn't afford it. He had to work. First, he used to buy used Cadillacs. That was his thing. And his entire search, God rest his soul, was for a cream puff, quote unquote. His dream was to find a cream puff Cadillac, 2 years old, 3 years old. And if he'd find one, he would go and try to, you know, bargain for it and buy it. So once he buys a, I think it was a 54 or a 55 Cadillac Sedan DeVille. Well, when he brought that car home, it looked like new, like showroom condition. I don't know what he paid for it. But it was like his first, you know, Cadillac that he was able to buy. I mean, business was doing a little better. You got to picture this. We lived in an attached house in Queens, New York, which had obviously a garage below it. But this attached house was on a street where the garage was below under the house because it was on a steep decline. There was no attached garage or behind the house. It was under the house, under the living room, as a matter of fact. You had to drive down a 45-degree driveway to get into this garage. Needless to say, no one ever used it because the winter comes, you're not going to get that car out other than with like a crane. You'd have to call like a Navy crane to pull the car out in the winter. So he gets this car in the springtime, and naturally because it's, you know, a new possession, I'll never forget to this day, I was a kid, a young kid. He drives it home, and he drove it down that steep driveway, 45 degrees, into the garage on Utopia Parkway and closed the door. Now we're safe in the garage, and we get in the car, and we open and close the doors, and we jump down in the seats as kids would. Wow, a Cadillac is in the garage. I'm asking a question. It's a strange part of Americana that I am describing to you. Does anyone do that anymore with a car? I don't think so. Would a kid really care what kind of car his father bought unless it was, let's say, a Lambo or a Ferrari? Does a kid really care? I don't see kids looking at cars the way we did. Because in those days, families were very, very stratified according to the car. For example, if you bought, let's say the family next door had an Olds 88 and you had a 98, you were Rockefeller. If you had a 98 and they had an 80, or a Buick LeSabre up to the Buick Roadmaster. If you had a Buick Roadmaster, you were as close to the president as you could ever get. Do people still look at brands like that today, in our day and age? Does anyone look at it that way? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think my kids gave when I had a car. But so I don't know. I think we're still a car crazy culture, but I don't think that we have the same mentality about it or not. The younger kids still care about cars. I don't think they do. I don't suspect that the car plays as big a role as ours did. I'll give you another reason. We needed big cars when we were kids. Why do we need a four-door car with a back seat to make out in? We needed a back seat in order to, you know, go out on a date and sit and smooch in the back seat. Why don't they need it today? Because today the housewives of Beverly Hills are encouraging their children to do it in the living room while they watch. That's all. So what do they need a big car for? I was watching TV again last night. I scanned through. They have The Godfather on AMC. I can't help myself. You know, it's a weakness. The movie is so good, GF1, GF2. GF3 stinks. When he put his daughter in it, Andy Garcia was good, but okay, you know, already lost something. I still like Andy Garcia as an actor, incidentally. But that movie, 3, was bad. When he put his daughter in as the lead, everyone's I'll never forget the day I went to the movies to watch Godfather 3. And, you know, it has opening scenes. It was still pretty good. Oh, we were expecting it. It's like Cars. It's the same thing. Like no one hangs on the edge of their seat waiting for what Coppola does anymore. But when he did Godfather 1, every line was quoted. It's the same like with Cars from that period. America's changed rapidly. But when Godfather 3 came along, with no disrespect meant to his daughter, honestly, when he cast her as the lead, mouths fell open and there was a gasp in the theater like, oh my God, you're kidding. How could he get away with it? He didn't. It was a flop. And it just shows you everything comes to an end. You'll come to an end. Your dog will come to an end. The rear end will come to an end. So we can talk about this election will come to an end. What are you going to do November 10th after Romney is president? What are you going to do then? No more Quinnipiac polls, no more Real Clear nonsense polls, nothing. What are they going to do on Fox News after the election? I don't know how they're going to stay in business. After this election, how is anyone going to stay in business? because there's nothing to talk about after the election. All of these guys now who are on television, are they going to still be on television talking about the election? How long can they do this? How long can anyone put up with this? This is all the game of the ancient Romans. Endless games, endless festivals, endless campaigns. It's all a distraction. It's driving most people with a brain crazy. And this too shall pass. If I lived in a sane representative democracy, there would be caps on how much money could be given to a candidate. There would be caps on the length of time for an election. There would be caps on how much money anyone could spend on advertising. It would be limited to 90 days before an election. That's it. I don't even recognize the country I live in anymore, let alone the cars that people are driving on the highway or the hamburgers that they're eating. But what is there going to be to listen to anymore?
Savage.